wonder if that's not what happened like with Peter in Luke 5. You know, Peter, before that, had been baptized by John and was going on with the things that he was hearing. And in Luke 5, we have him, the Lord saying, launch out your ship. They fished all night, they caught nothing. Launch out into the deep. We're going to get a good catch of fish. Peter is a fisherman, you know.
Sure.
Okay. So he does it. He goes. And when the Lord gives the command, and the nets are filled, there's something that happens in Peter. Something profound happens in Peter. I think he sees a little glimpse of glory. We're talking about glory. He sees a little glimpse of the glory of the Lord. And what's his response? Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Mm-hmm. If we really get a glimpse of his glory as the Savior, it'll make us realize what we are. And we'll be greatly humbled. Not just this easy believism, as one brother used to call it. Be greatly humbled before the Lord. And we won't look at him the same as we did before. We'll look at him with awe and reverence as this one. I'm not even worthy to be in his presence. But grace brings me there. The Lord didn't say, okay, go. No, the Lord brought Peter close to him. Peter was one of those three that enjoy intimacy in a very special way. And I just remember that happening with Saul of Tarsus, when he was on that road to Damascus with hatred in his heart against this name of Jesus. He's confronted by the Lord Jesus on that road. And what does he see? Thank God the Lord protected him. He would have been consumed by the glory that was there. Because he says they saw a glory that was brighter than the brightness of the sun. That's profound what he saw. Yet what did it do in his life? His response was, yeah, I believe. No. His response was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That was a complete change. And I believe when we're brought to that point, our self is kind of out of the picture. Any value in me is put out of the picture. It's him and him alone. And that's what's going to change the life. It's not me trying to change my life and make myself a better Christian. It's seeing him. It's beholding him in his glory. What he's done, the glorious work that he's accomplished. And to now see him in resurrection glory, that should change our lives. And every young person in this room, if you really have believed on the Lord Jesus, there should be a profound impact upon your life. He not only, you know the facts. Oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins. Well, that's easy to say. But if you really believe that he did that, that he paid a price that was an infinite price, that should have a tremendous impact upon your life. And everything that you do in life should be governed by that one all-absorbing fact that he loved me, the Son of God, and gave himself for me. Paul just lived that. It was his heartbeat. It was his heartbeat. So may the Lord really impact us today with this truth.
Of course, there's growth. We must love the growth. Maybe someone might say, well, that's not me, so therefore I may not be saved. I think one has to certainly allow for the fact that there may be someone who is a genuine believer who is in the process of growing and in the process of demonstrating and showing forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his glorious light. And so when we just talk about subjective things, we probably have to be careful that we don't set up standards that might cause people to doubt what the plain scripture says, that if I believe that Christ is the Son of God, he died for me, I am saved. But there may be certainly a vast area where growth needs to come in, development, teaching, and progress along the way as well. But I think of the centurion as another example of sonship being revealed, since that is our theme, Brother Hilton. And it struck me in Matthew chapter 27, here we are at the cross, and I don't think we should minimize the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ who is the Son of God, the Son of the Father, the Son of Man, the Son of David, had his terminus, his focus at the cross. This is really so important to us, is it not? So much so that the Lord Jesus says, as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, that's Paul, I know, but he says, do this in remembrance of me. So he wants us to keep this before us at all times. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So there was a great deal of supernatural events taking place. The darkness, the earthquake, and these, and the veil rent from the top to the bottom. And these earth-shaking events caused this man to recognize there's something vastly different about this man. He no doubt had been the captain in charge of many crucifixions. But this crucifixion was very different. This death was very different. And the testimony that comes out of his mouth is this. Truly, this was the Son of God. Here's a rough soldier. Not invested with a lot of biblical knowledge, no doubt. Not a Jew. Roman centurion. And as a result of this one event, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus has a radical, earth-changing, soul-transforming experience. And his confession, this was the Son of God.